Good morning.
Thank you, Miss Wanda. I also want to thank everyone for coming today and for the members of the church. Thank you for letting us have you Sunday. It's really fun doing it, and it almost humbles you and makes you a better Christian when you have to take a leadership position. So I got a good message. I don't know, some of you might remember 4 years ago, I was up here tearing up real bad trying to get through the announcements. And I am now, but I've come a long way. So thank everybody at the church for helping me out. All right, the message this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 5. That's right after Galatians in the Bible, if you want to turn there, New Testament. This book is a letter from Paul to the church at Ephesus. So it's a good way to almost model yourself. It's a letter to tell the church how they were supposed to act, pretty much, and how they're supposed to conduct themselves. So it helps us and our church when we read stuff like this in the Bible that almost guides us and tells us what we're supposed to do. So I'll go ahead and read that if everybody's turned there. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as you become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolishness talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherever he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding that what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My mom, a few years ago, she prayed about God showing her some scripture, and he gave her Ephesians 5:8. And so when I was searching for something to do for the devotion, I decided to read this chapter. And then I felt like God wanted me to do this. So from there, I took 3 points. And these 3 points are sort of a way to help Christians live their life for God. It's really amazing how, even though it was written such long ago, the Bible applies to these days a whole lot. It's a long time ago that it was written, but it really does. When you read it, sometimes you feel like it's talking about you or about something you're going through. So my first point is that as Christians, we should be careful of compromising our relationship with God. By this I mean that from the time we were young until the time we were old, we're pressured by the world to do things that we normally would not do. This chapter even talked about drinking, and some of us younger people, we cuss or we get into the wrong groups. And it's a choice between God and the world. And it's if you want to be popular here or popular there. So we do things that God doesn't like and that we probably wouldn't like. And it's hard to keep from doing this. Everybody does it. It's just the pressure of life. We want to impress people and have a good time, and nobody wants to be hated or not liked. You want to fit in anywhere you go. But your relationship with Christ is way more important, because in the end, that's really all that matters. Ephesians 5:6-8 says, Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye sometimes were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. walk as children of light. That's saying that before we were Christians, we were of the world, and we could do those things, but now we're Christians, so we should walk in the light and be a light to show everybody else what the right and wrong things are to do. So when you become a Christian, you almost become a new person, where they say you become reborn. You really do. So when we become Christians, we're changed, and we should aim to live for God every day. My second point is from Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Even though we're faced with these pressures and troubles, Christ gives us the light to overcome it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in Christ which strengthens me. So, you know, we are pressured, and we have a lot of bad things happen to us, but just remember that you can get through it. Ever since I was little, I've seen WWJD. You know, I've got little bracelets that say it. And if you go by that saying to live your life, that's a great way, because it's almost impossible to do everything Jesus did. He was perfect, but if we try and do what Jesus would do, we'd be pretty close to perfect ourselves. And that's what he wants us to do. You know, I'm not saying that I do that all the time, believe it or not. Nobody does. You know, everybody makes mistakes, and we fall short of God. I think that ever since God seen Eve take the apple, he knew that humans were going to sin, and that's why he gave his son. Because he understands that we can't be perfect. We're going to do wrong. It's just natural. But that's why he gave Jesus, who was perfect, as a sacrifice. Because I know the youth have learned, they used to give actual sacrifices before Jesus. And so he made it a whole lot easier for us, and we can just go to Jesus, you know, get down on our knees and pray, and he'll forgive us of anything we've done. God also answers prayer. That's what Haley's devotion was about. Don't get discouraged. God has a will, so sometimes he might not, you know, go against that. You may want something, but believe it, it's for the best of you. He'll take care of you. He's not going to put you in a bad situation where you can't come out of it. But, I mean, I've heard stories, and sometimes it's happening. When you pray for something, you sometimes don't get it, but God will give it to you eventually. And that's what faith is about. You know, he wants us to believe. The last point comes from, and this is the most important point, comes from Ephesians 5:20, which says, Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This last point is for Christians to always be thankful and to appreciate our blessings. God gives us so many things every day. He gives us life. Most are able to walk, talk, hear, and function every day, but some are not. Mr. Ricky is back there right now. And he can't walk. And my grandmother is the same way. Sorry. And you sometimes wonder what makes you either deserve that or deserve to walk. But God makes everybody for a reason. And he does that stuff for a reason. And even if it's not best for that person, it can teach you a lesson. I'm sorry for crying, but, you know, life is short. I know Leah, she died quick, and I've thought about that before. You know, what if I were to pass when I'm young? So that's why it's important to follow God from the time you're little, from when you first hear about it. And not everybody hears about God. They don't get the chance to. Their parents don't know. So it's hard. But if you have the chance to take what God can give you, you need to take it. Because if not, we know that the consequence is hell. And, you know, we won't see our loved ones in the end. They'll be in hell. So it's important for us also to save them and to talk to them about it. You know, to be honest, just getting in the car and driving a little ways is risking your life. Every day, almost every day, you hear about somebody dying in a car crash. It's amazing. I mean, the world has gotten so far in technology and stuff like that, that a lot of things are dangerous. I hear older people tell me things aren't like they used to be. They're not made like they used to be made. Cars aren't as strong, stuff like that. So, you know, it's a real risky life almost. Just living normally puts you at risk. And so that's where I got the idea of insurance. You know, you turn on TV and you see insurance all the time. There's life insurance, car insurance. boat, ATVs, you know, Geico, they have it all. But God gives us another insurance policy, and it's really the most important, and that's on your soul. So that no matter what happens, you can trust that you'll be saved. You know, you may be scared of something, but you can still go through that, because even if something happened to you, you know God, you're in His hands. You know, those insurance policies just protect personal things. You know, stuff that is, items of the world. They're not really as important as your soul. And so those make sure that you're safe in the world. And if you pass, life insurance makes sure that your family can go on through that. But like I said, God offers true life insurance. His offer gives us a chance to live forever. There is a catch, though. We have to ask for it. And if we ask for Him to give it to us, He will. We should also share this message with everyone. Everywhere. Anywhere we go. I know it's real hard to talk to people or to find the chance to mention to somebody. But, I mean, if you really look into your own families, you'll see that there's some there that aren't saved. And so you want to reach out to them too. And that can be a little easier than doing it to a stranger. So, like Pastor Jim said many times before, all youth encourage you to have a relationship with God. And I'm pretty sure that everyone here does. And if you don't, you'll have a chance to today. But just offer this message to everyone, you know. If you really think about it, and I don't want to, you know, make it sound scary, but death is a scary thing. And if somebody were to die, or if you were to die, if you're not saved, you know, it's going to be pretty rough. I mean, you read stories in the Bible about how you suffer in hell. So it's a very serious thing. And we've had young people at this church. Leah, she passed. So it's just right around the corner. Nobody expected that. Nobody knows what's going to happen when we leave today. So you have to be ready. And you know, that's why you do have insurance. You don't know if you're going to get in a car crash and you need your car fixed. We don't know if we're going to, you know, get sick. So we need a life insurance policy that God can give us. And that's the message today. We'll say a word of prayer now. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for everything You've given us, all of our abilities. We ask You to please bless us. Hopefully this message touched somebody. If it did, let them carry it on to someone else. Thank You for bringing us here safe. We ask You to take us home safe. And we ask for the rest of this service to touch somebody. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor Jim is going to come over this time.